Book 3, Chapter 8 of the Priesthood of Aaron. When what has been described was brought to a conclusion, gifts not being yet presented, God appeared to Moses and enjoined him to bestow the high priesthood upon Aaron his brother, as upon him that best of them all deserved to obtain that honor, on account of his virtue. And when he had gathered the multitude together, he gave them an account of Aaron's virtue, and of his good will to them, and of the dangers he had undergone for their sakes. Upon which, when they had given testimony to him on all respects, and showed their readiness to receive him, Moses said to them, O you Israelites, this work is already brought to a conclusion in a manner most acceptable to God, and according to our abilities. And now, since you see that he is received into this tabernacle, we shall first of all stand in need of one that may officiate for us, and may minister to the sacrifices, and to the prayers that are to be put up for us. And indeed, had the inquiry after such a person been left to me, I should have thought myself worthy of this honor, both because all men are naturally fond of themselves, and because I am conscious to myself that I have taken a great deal of pains for your deliverance. But now God himself has determined that Aaron is worthy of this honor, and has chosen him for his priest, as knowing him to be the most righteous person among you. So that he is to put on the vestments which are consecrated to God, he is to have the care of the altars, and to make provision for the sacrifices. And he it is that must put up prayers for you to God, who will readily hear them, not only because he is himself solicitous for your nation, but also because he will receive them as offered by one that he hath himself chosen to this office. The Hebrews were pleased with what was said, and they gave their approbation to him whom God had ordained. For Aaron was of them all the most deserving of this honor, on account of his own stock and gift of prophecy, and his brother's virtue. He had at that time four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Now Moses commanded them to make use of all the utensils which were more than were necessary to the structure of the tabernacle, for covering the tabernacle itself, the candlestick and the altar of incense and the other vessels, that they might not be at all hurt when they journeyed, either by rain or by the rising of the dust. And when he had gathered the multitude together again, he ordered that they should offer half a shekel for every man as an oblation to God, which shekel is a piece among the Hebrews, and is equal to 4 Athenian drachmae. Whereupon they readily obeyed what Moses had commanded, and the number of the offerers was 605,550. Now this money that was brought by the men that were free was given by such as were about 20 years old, but under 50, and what was collected was spent in the uses of the tabernacle. Moses now purified the tabernacle and the priests, which purification was performed after the following manner. He commanded them to take 500 shekels of choice myrrh, an equal quantity of cassia, and half the foregoing weight of cinnamon and calamus. This last is a sort of sweet spice, to beat them small, and wet them with a hin of oil of olives. A hin is our own country measure, and contains 2 Athenian koas, or congueses. Then mix them together, and boil them, and prepare them after the art of the apothecary, and make them into a very sweet ointment, and afterward to take it to anoint and purify the priests themselves, and all the tabernacle, as also the sacrifices. There were also many, and those of various kinds, of sweet spices, that belonged to the tabernacle, and such as were of very great price, and were brought to the golden altar of incense, the nature of which I do not now describe, lest it should be troublesome to my readers. But incense was to be offered twice a day, both before sun rising and at sun setting. They were also to keep oil ready purified for the lamps, 3 of which were to give light all day long upon the sacred candlestick before God, and the rest were to be lighted at the evening. Now all was finished. Bezalel and Aholiab appeared to be the most skillful of the workmen, for they invented finer works than what others had done before them, and were of great abilities to join notions of what they were formerly ignorant of. And of these, Bezalel was judged to be the best. Now the whole time they were about this work was the interval of 7 months, and after this it was that was ended the first year since their departure out of Egypt. But at the beginning of the second year, on the month Xanthicus, as the Macedonians call it, but on the month Nisan, as the Hebrews call it, on the new moon, they consecrated the tabernacle and all its vessels, which I have already described. Now God showed himself pleased with the work of the Hebrews, and did not permit their labors to be in vain, nor did he disdain to make use of what they had made, but he came and sojourned with them, and pitched his tabernacle in the holy house. And in the following manner did he come to it. The sky was clear, but there was a mist over the tabernacle only, encompassing it, but not with such a very deep and thick cloud as is seen in the winter season, nor yet in so thin a one as men might be able to discern anything through it. But from it there dropped a sweet dew, and such a one as showed the presence of God to those that desired and believed it. Now when Moses had bestowed such honorary presents on the workmen, as it was fit they should receive, who had wrought so well, he offered sacrifices in the open court of the tabernacle, as God commanded him, a bull, a ram, and a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. Now I shall speak of what we do in our sacred offices in my discourse about sacrifices, and therein I shall inform men in what cases Moses bid us offer a whole burnt offering, and in what cases the law permits us to partake of them as of food. And when Moses had sprinkled Aaron's vestments, himself and his sons, with the blood of the beasts that were slain, and had purified them with spring waters and ointment, they became God's priests. After this manner did he consecrate them and their garments for 7 days together. The same he did to the tabernacle and the vessels thereto belonging, both with oil first incensed, as I said, and with the blood of bulls and of rams, slain day by day one, according to its kind. But on the 8th day he appointed a feast for the people, and commanded them to offer sacrifice according to their ability. Accordingly they contended one with another, and were ambitious to exceed one another in the sacrifices which they brought, and so fulfilled Moses' injunctions. But as the sacrifices lay upon the altar, a sudden fire was kindled from among them of its own accord, and appeared to the sight like fire from a flash of lightning, and consumed whatever was upon the altar. Hereupon an affliction befell Aaron, considered as a man and a father, but was undergone by him with true fortitude. For he had indeed a firmness of soul in such accidents, and he thought this calamity came upon him according to God's will. For whereas he had 4 sons, as I said before, the elder 2 of them, Nadab and Abihu, did not bring those sacrifices which Moses bade them bring, but which they used to offer formerly, and were burnt to death. Now when the fire rushed upon them, and began to burn them, nobody could quench it. Accordingly they died in this manner. And Moses bid their father and their brethren to take up their bodies, to carry them out of the camp, and to bury them magnificently. Now the multitude lamented them, and were deeply affected at this their death, which so unexpectedly befell them. But Moses entreated their brethren and their father not to be troubled for them, and to prefer the honor of God before their grief about them, for Aaron had already put on his sacred garments. But Moses refused all that honor which he saw the multitude ready to bestow upon him, and attended to nothing else but the service of God. He went no more up to Mount Sinai, but he went into the tabernacle, and brought back answers from God for what he prayed for. His habit was also that of a private man, and in all other circumstances he behaved himself like one of the common people, and was desirous to appear without distinguishing himself from the multitude, but would have it known that he did nothing else but take care of them. He also set down in writing the form of their government, and those laws by obedience whereto they would lead their lives so as to please God, and so as to have no quarrels one among another. However, the laws he ordained were such as God suggested to him. So I shall now discourse concerning that form of government and those laws. I will now treat of what I before omitted, the garment of the high priest. For he, Moses, left no room for the evil practices of false prophets. But if some of that sort should attempt to abuse the divine authority, he left it to God to be present at his sacrifices when he pleased, and when he pleased to be absent. And he was willing this should be known, not to the Hebrews only, but to those foreigners also who were there. For as to those stones, which we told you before, the high priest bare on his shoulders, which were sardonyxes, and I think it needless to describe their nature, they being known to everybody, the one of them shined out when God was present at their sacrifices, I mean that which was in the nature of a button on his right shoulder, bright rays darting out thence, and being seen even by those that were most remote, which splendor yet was not before natural to the stone. This has appeared a wonderful thing to such as have not so far indulged themselves in philosophy as to despise divine revelation. Yet I will mention what is still more wonderful than this. For God declared beforehand, by those 12 stones which the high priest bare on his breast, and which were inserted into his breastplate, when they should be victorious in battle. For so great a splendor shone forth from them before the army began to march, that all the people were sensible of God's being present for their assistance. Whence it came to pass that those Greeks, who had a veneration for our laws, because they could not possibly contradict this, called that breastplate the oracle. Now this breastplate and this sardonyx left off shining 200 years before I composed this book, God having been displeased at the transgressions of his laws. Of which things we shall further discourse on a fitter opportunity. But I will now go on with my proposed narration. The tabernacle being now consecrated, and a regular order being settled for the priests, the multitude judged that God now dwelt among them, and betook themselves to sacrifices and praises to God, as being now delivered from all expectation of evils, and as entertaining a hopeful prospect of better times hereafter. They offered also gifts to God, some as common to the whole nation, and others as peculiar to themselves, and these tribe by tribe. For the heads of the tribes combined together, two by two, and brought a wagon and a yoke of oxen. These amounted to 6, and they carried the tabernacle when they journeyed. Besides which, each head of a tribe brought a bowl, and a charger, and a spoon, of 10 derricks, full of incense. Now the charger and the bowl were of silver, and together they weighed 200 shekels, but the bowl cost no more than 70 shekels. And these were full of fine flour mixed with oil, such as they used on the altar about the sacrifices. They brought also a young bullock, and a ram, with a lamb of a year old, for a whole burnt offering, as also a goat for the forgiveness of sins. Every one of the heads of the tribes brought also other sacrifices, called peace offerings, for every day 2 bulls and 5 rams, with lambs of a year old, and kids of the goats. These heads of tribes were 12 days in sacrificing, one sacrificing every day. Now Moses went no longer up to Mount Sinai, but went into the tabernacle, and learned of God what we were to do, and what laws should be made, which laws were preferable to what have been devised by human understanding, and proved to be firmly observed for all time to come, as being believed to be the gift of God, insomuch that the Hebrews did not transgress any of those laws, either as tempted in times of peace by luxury, or in times of war by distress of affairs. But I say no more here concerning them, because I have resolved to compose another work concerning our laws.